Then they doubled in size. Couple of coaches were out there. They came in and said, guess what? We're changing the location. Their hair is all wet.
Well, great to see you out there.
Good evening. This is the Harbor Advisory Board special meeting, Wednesday, March 12, 2019. We're in the Veterans Memorial Building at 209 Surf Street in Morro Bay. And we, Mr. Mark Blackford will not be with us this evening, but we have a quorum, so we'll proceed. And we'll start off with I'll ask, there is only our liaison, not only, our liaison from City Council is the only person. That's gentlemen's. I apologize, AGC. and a sterling gentleman from AGC is in the audience as well. So I don't think we need to ask for public comment. However, Ms. McPherson, do you have anything you'd like to offer before we get started? Okay, thank you. So that's brings us to A1, which is the Harbor Department status report. Mr. Director.
Good evening. Start off with the recent department activity. Standard amount of stuff going on. As you know, it's been pretty windy and seems like spring has sprung. We'll see if the winter continues on, but during the month of February, we had 9 emergency responses, 101 calls for service, 20 assists of other agencies, 6 enforcement contacts, and 16 weather warnings, including 7 hazardous bar warnings, meaning the harbor entrance was unsafe for passage for most vessels. So I don't think we're out of the winter woods yet, so we'll see what happens over the next few weeks, but it's been an exciting last couple of weeks. Recent council activity, the February 13th council meeting, council approved an adjustment to the lease site maps for lease site 113, 122, 123. Those are the sites in front of Morro Bay Landing and Harbor Hut to accommodate the new slip arrangements that have put out there. It's just adjusting the lease lines westward, essentially. So those finally got approved, and as you've been down the waterfront, you've seen the Morro Bay Landing site is under a considerable amount of construction. Also on February 13th, I provided an update to the City Council on the progress of the Harbor Lease Policy update and gathered a little bit of council feedback and input. That's still all moving along, and we have a report on that a little bit later, so we'll get to that later. So no council action was asked for in that. And then a regular joint meeting between Council, Planning Commission, and the City-appointed boards. They all participate in Ethics and Brown Act training designed to meet state criteria for those such trainings that we're all required to go to every couple of years. Special February 26 meeting, Council had a study session for the city's 10-year financial forecast. It focused primarily on the general fund. There wasn't a lot of focus on the enterprise funds, which I guess is good and bad in some ways. Sometimes it's nice to be under the radar. Also, the February 26 regular meeting, Council discussed the agenda for the CMANC Washington, D.C. week trip. Which we also have a report on a little later, I believe. Yeah, so I'll report on that later, so I won't go too much into that. That trip was good. We got back last Friday. And also the February 26 meeting, Council will provide input and authorize the release of the RFP, request for proposals for lease site. Provide input. We were going for authorization to put out the RFP. Council gave us some feedback, wanted some changes to the RFP for lease sites 34, 35, and 36. Those are the water-only leases down south of Tidelands Park, off of the old cannery and down by Glad's Castle. So I'm working on those revisions now, and we'll hopefully get that back to Council before much longer. On Friday, March 1st, we had a community forum to discuss City's goals and objectives for 2019-2020. So that was the initial goals, public goals input taking process, and there'll be more of those opportunities as well to come up. March 12th meeting, that was last night. Council discussed and was asked to provide input and direction on the new Morro Bay Aquarium market an economic feasibility study completed by ConsultiCon for Central Coast Aquarium. The direction provided, Central Coast Aquarium was asking essentially for a partnership of the city along with Cal Poly to move forward on a collaborative endeavor to raise funds. As we know, they were seeking a USDA loan initially to up to $20 million to fund that. They've now backed off of that based on recommendations of their consultant and are now seeking philanthropic, meaning non-earned revenue, to build their aquarium and for partial revenues to operate, which is not uncommon for a lot of nonprofits and aquariums and zoos. So that is the direction we're going on that. So for the next year, we're working collaboratively with CCA and Cal Poly and seeing if we can raise the necessary funds to build the aquarium and then go on to the next steps from there. Any questions on any of those updates?
I don't have a question, but I have a comment as it relates to the proposed aquarium project. I love aquariums. I've visited aquariums all over the world in my travels. I did think that last night's City Council meeting agenda item C1, regarding the Central Coast Aquarium's interest in developing a new aquarium in Morro Bay was interesting from a number of perspectives. For instance, at a minimum, it is curious the consultant hired to perform an objective feasibility study would clearly become a lobbyist for the project. Doing so, and speaking as a professional consultant, not financial feasibility, in my opinion, doing so discredits and disqualifies them as a financial feasibility consultant and makes their work product profoundly suspect. I also did not appreciate the consultant badmouthing the Tyler's Aquarium without having walked in the Tyler's shoes for the nearly 50 years that their aquarium survived on the money that walked in the door, all the while paying land lease money to the city of Morro Bay. So my personal hope, is that as a matter of duty, the city's future considerations for the tenancy of those lease sites, which is 6970, 69W, and 70W, will be based upon objective facts, defensible business planning, and sound financial considerations. Anything else for Eric on the staff report? Jeremiah?
Thank you very much, Ron. And I didn't know what to say about that very subject without being anti or just seeming sour grapes or something. So I want to just say that I completely concur with everything that Ron said. Thank you, Ron.
Gene.
Yeah, I didn't attend the meeting last night for personal reasons, but I have worked with designing a marine research facility, and as I understand it, they are no longer going to receive the funding from the U.S. Government. Is that correct?
Their intent is to not seek that USDA loan to fund the project.
And they're going to apply for private granting and private funding?
Well, they're going to look for philanthropic. They basically look for donors.
When we were involved with the Morro Bay Estuary design for the Environmental Research Center, we found that if you have a structure, then you can more or less get grants from private donors. But without a structure, it's very, very hard to get funding towards that endeavor. We'll see how it goes. Thanks.
Anything else? Staff report? Okay. And I kind of jumped the gun on A1. I did not give the board, and I apologize to the board and to the public, the opportunity for announcements. Dana? I think you have at least one.
Yeah, it was It's here in the staff's upcoming events, but if we look up at the screen here. Hello? Okay. Anyways, we started working together, the Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation, Friends of the Harbor Department, and the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. Last year, we put together this Marine Swap Meet. We had great response from not only the vendors, but the people, the buyers that came. And so we're going to keep the same format. We're going to have the last week in June. It's going to be from 8 to 2. There is some food that is going to be sold there. There's also going to be some music. So not only can you buy and sell all these marine-related items, you can just come out and enjoy yourself. So you'll be seeing more and more advertisement for this throughout the city, and just want to get it out there. Thank you.
What are the dates again, please? I realize it's up on the screen, but what are the dates, please?
It's Saturday, June 29th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
And it's free.
Although you can buy stuff and lose your mind. But that's a good thing.
Bargain City.
For a wonderful cause. Yeah. Jeremiah, can you do Blessing of the Fleet for us?
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you very much, Ron. Yeah,
just a second. AGC, can you help us by going to Blessing of the Fleet, please? Thank you.
Yes, Sunday, April 7th this year, we'll be holding the Blessing of the Fleet down at the North T Pier. I would like to mention, as I do announce this, that we've unfortunately lost a gentleman called Bill. His name was Bill Houston. He was a naval a chaplain and has been around for many, many years. He's done the Blessing of the Fleet for many years. He was one of the founding members of the Lost at Sea Memorial Service on Memorial Day in Cayucas. We're very, very sad to have lost Bill. The Blessing of the Fleet will be held April 7th this year. The flyers currently say noon, and we do encourage you to come at noon, although the services won't start till around 1. And if you get there before at noonish, then we'll just be an opportunity to stand around and chat while we're waiting for the pastors to show up. And then immediately following the blessing at the Veterans Memorial Hall right here, there will be a chicken dinner hosted by Tognazzini's, and it is absolutely free. Let's see, it says a tri-tip barbecue. I think it's been changed to chicken, but in either case, it'll be a free lunch for anybody who would like to attend, and that will be immediately following the blessing, and we'll go on till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I hope that you bring your family and friends. Thank you.
And some food, by the way.
Yes, that. let's see. You're right. Folks with last names beginning with from A to G can bring salads from H to N. Side dishes, O to Z, bring dessert, beans and salad, other salads will be provided, as well as the entree by Tognazzini's. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Gene?
Yes, a couple years ago, I brought in some kind of a light brown sponge that had been invasion into our bay. And last year it was all gone, but it's coming back. And it's coating the mooring chains and the balls, and it's back. I don't know why, but here it is again. And whale watching guys are seeing whales heading north this year, and we have lots of wind. That's about it on the weather.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, it's Ringo Sprunk, yeah. I have a couple of announcements. The first is that Friday, this coming Friday, March 15th, between 5 and 7:30 p.m. at the Morro Bay Community Center, is the 30th annual Dixon's Spaghetti Dinner Fundraiser. 30 years this has been going on, and for those that aren't familiar with what happens with the money, it is used to help kids who otherwise might not be able to afford it to participate in the City of Morro Bay Rec Division youth programs, sports and recreation. So this is a very important thing, plus it's a really nice thing to do. The great folks up at the Rec Department, Rec Division, make the food. There will be a meatball making extravaganza event tomorrow afternoon up there at the kitchen. And there will be a wine and beer, no host bar. So you can have a glass of cab or Chardonnay to go along with it, or you can have a beer. And there will be beverages, coffee and water, I believe, and lemonade. Maybe it's lemonade and coffee. I forget. I'm sorry. But that's this coming Friday night, 5 p.m. to 7:30. Adults are $12 at the door. Children under 12 are $7. And part of the event is there are a variety of items that will be raffled off, new goods items, toys, and adult items that will be raffled off. So it'll be a pretty nice event, and then the Rec Division folks, I think they do a cakewalk or some kind of children's participation event during the evening. So please, you all come. Then on April 4 to 7 is the annual Morro Bay yard sale, citywide yard sale. Historically, that's been put on by Morro Bay Beautiful. Morro Bay Beautiful has passed the baton on to TBID, and so TBID is organizing that event. It's the 16th annual, so that's April 4 and April 7, and sign-ups are drop off a completed form or pick up a form at the Visitor Center at 695 Harbor Street. That's it.
$10 charge, it's free now?
There did used to be a $10 charge because we advertised and there was a treasure map and paid for the printing and all that. I shouldn't say we, that's my wife, sorry. It's not the distaff we. But it is free. Thank you. It is free this year. That's correct. Okay, so anything else? No? Good. Okay. So that brings us to B1. B1 is the Boatyard Marine Services Facility Ad Hoc Committee Report. And Dana?
Okay. I think staff might want to throw the report.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sure. Staff recommendation? Thank you. Go ahead. Somebody.
I'm staying by here. I got to get past all that stuff. So, as we know, we put out the RFP, didn't get any responses back. It was due February 1st. Went out last October, made some inquiries into some of the firms that at least contacted us or we knew potentially had some interest. Received a little bit of feedback as to why they didn't respond. The reasons range from the thought that the budget might have been too small. The budget was a published number. It wasn't something we put in the RFP that said, we have this much money to spend, give us a bid. But it was a known number in our budget line item, what we had set aside for that. So some of the reasons were that they thought that was not enough to complete the study, although in the I think in the staff report approving it, we worded it such that we would go back to council if we potentially needed more money, but that was one of the reasons. Another reason was a company that actually thought that the RFP document was one of the better ones they had seen in terms of the deliverables. They thought it was very well outlined and clear to them. But they said they're not responding because they're out of state and they didn't think that they could have any chance of competing with the locals. So they didn't respond. And then some were just flat out busy. I mean, there's just a lot of consultant work out there right now. And a lot of them are just too busy to take on anything new. So they didn't have any interest in doing it. So in hindsight, I think some of those reasons and also the complexity of the RFP, when we put it together, we put it in a phased approach thinking that there's some potential real fatal flaws that could be discovered, and we don't want to discover those late in the process and waste a bunch of time and money doing research and analysis. So let's have those fatal flaws look for up front, and then if there aren't anything, no major fatal flaws identified, move on to the next phase and then the next phase and so forth. So I think in hindsight, that potentially, I think, was a little complicated for people to wrap their arms around and maybe even see it as a cost-benefit analysis on the consultant's part, in that if they're looking at, well, if we only get through phase one and we have to do all that work and research, phase one isn't going to take very long and may not be worth it for them to take that little small amount of work on. So in hindsight, it probably was maybe a fatal flaw in and of itself that just scared people off from responding. So I sent the RFP document back out to our ad hoc committee, and they looked at it and made some recommended changes, which is in your packet tonight. I've got some of the original documents that went into that RFP. I did not include in your packet the Harbor Advisory Board criteria that we developed back in 2015 or 16, sort of the 15 or 17 bullet points that we thought our hypothetical boatyard would need. I didn't put the maps. I didn't think that was necessary because it was really the language part that we needed to work on in the RFP. So that's what's in your packet tonight. So I will let the ad hoc committee members, if they are so inclined, to address what they want to address, and we can move forward with this.
Thank you, Eric. I would agree with what your conclusions about some of the responses or lack of response, and the phased approach being, you look at a project overall, it's going to take this much time, it's going to be this big, we're going to make this much amount of money, it's going to take this many people to work on it, and then, oh, but maybe it's only going to go this far, or maybe it's only going to go this far and not go the whole way. That sitting on your desk next to three other projects that are pretty straightforward, we think that was probably part of the problem as far as applying for it after speaking with different consultants. I hope everybody's had a chance to look at this. The phased approach is what's going to be taken out of this. Basically, the word phase will be replaced with the word element. So instead of, if you look through the red lines in the document, you'll see that throughout. Obviously, the dates are going to be changed. There is some verbiage that's in there that you can see on page 9. I believe it's 9. Hang on, this is the right one.
7, I believe.
Daniel? You got too many copies?
7, I think.
Excuse me, page 7, yeah. Between element 2, just after element 2. Each of the three project concept models is to incorporate the service model as developed by the HAB, as well as the yard conceptual layout as developed by the ad hoc committee and RRM. The service model is to include the waterfront haul-out facility suitable for a 30 metric ton to 40 metric ton marine travel lift, a suitable pathway for the travel lift from the haul-out location to the storage service yard, bottom wash pad, and suitable closed-loop equipment for boat cleaning, as example, the next-generation water maze or equivalent stationary or trailer-mounted unit, and an approximately 30-foot deep
by 80-foot long, 20-foot tall metal service building located in the storage service yard that is divided into four separate 20-foot wide bays. So this is probably the first part that we'd like the Harbor Advisory Board to look at and give comments. I've had a little bit of discussion as far as the size of the mobile hoist with Ron, who wrote this part, and also with Jeremiah. And we believe up to a 50-ton would pretty much take care of 90% of the boats here in Morro Bay. However, our criteria, which is attachment 5, which is also in this RFP, calls out for a 75 metric ton. So we want to change the language to call out this attachment 5 as used for reference only or something in that type of language. Because there are a lot of things on here that we still want to see happen. But that size of travel lift, the infrastructure for it, the travel ways, the roadway, everything just goes up exponentially and therefore adds to the cost. So we didn't think that was something we wanted to go to. So that will be part of a change that we're looking for in the new RFP. I also think that this section might be better at on page 6, where it says project scope, and just be at the end of that category, you know, as far as the next would be the next paragraph in that under project scope. Because it does talk about all elements, the three elements. And so it would be before the text of the three elements. What do you think of that? Anybody?
Well, let's take one point at a time. Why don't you raise one point at a time and ask for feedback?
Okay. Well, then let's just back up a little bit and talk about the mobile hoist, because that's kind of a conflicting. Yes, sir.
So, on that criteria sheet, and I'm gonna, if we can pull that up, you guys have got it. Did you get handouts of that as well?
We did, and I have some extras.
Yeah, I think it's a two-pager. So two ways to go about this. I think one is to, I mean, we have reference to the travel lift size in here, which is fine, that it now conflicts with our criteria. We can always just revise that criteria.
Well, I think that would be the easiest way to go, yeah.
Is there anything else on that we need to address?
Well, it pretty much all pertains to that, the changes, like the roadway, the ways, for the 75 metric ton. And if we could change that to up to 50 ton, I think that would work better.
I'm just looking at the criteria now. We can always just put a new date on here.
Say it again, Eric, please.
I'm just looking at the criteria. You know, it's got the bullet point of the lift, 75 metric tons. So we change that to 50. There's several references to it in here.
Yeah.
Everything else looks like it should be able to stay the same.
Well, let's ask.
Yeah, let's go through that, because then we'll just do a revision of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I agree with that. Let's start with the criteria.
Okay.
That's a good way to start, and let's go down the line and see how folks feel about that. Gene, is there anything in the criteria that you think you would like to see changed if the RFP is reissued?
So we're looking at the May 6, 2015 sheet of paper here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. on the second page, further on down, about halfway down, it mentions means to launch and haul out small boats up to approximately 9,000 pounds to accommodate trailable boats and dry storages. I don't see that in the other proposal, but I'm opposed to that part of the conditions, of the criteria. But I don't see it in this new list anyways. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's not in the new, but so a lot of this stuff is not necessarily in the new, that one paragraph.
So one possibility is that we concentrate on this list of criteria. We either do or do not come to a consensus about possible modifications to the criteria. And if we do come to consensus, then one of the revisions to a draft RFP would be to simply refer, in terms of the particulars of the scope, refer to the criteria and attach it as an addendum to the RFP. And then we don't have to go through all that verbiage inside the RFP itself. I mean, that's a proposal. Okay, I see heads going up and down. Okay, so Gene, let's can you share? Can you help us understand why you have that position on that particular bullet point?
I feel that particular point, that location is going to be congested enough as is with traffic, and I hate to see a ton of little boats going back and forth across the street there, clogging up the street, the parking lot, and the waterway with a hoist down below there. So I believe that doesn't comply with Measure D area unless they're commercial fishing boats. So.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Jeremiah? Criteria?
Yeah, thank you. So I agree that we should... I think the wording, instead of limiting to a certain number, like if 50 tons, and I agree 50 tons would be a nice size hoist as opposed to the 30 to 40, but we should also say, just worded as a hoist at a minimum of 50 tons in case there might be somebody who already has a hoist. I would like to put it to use, and of course taking for granted that they would then reinforce whatever roadways or concrete's necessary to accommodate. But I'm just saying if in the event, so a minimum of 50 tons. Also, and this isn't a real big deal, so I don't think it would be a deal breaker by any means, but the 30 by 80 foot building.
Well, let's look at the criteria list. Look at your criteria list. It has a building size in it. Your first point's taken. Look at your criteria. The criteria list refers to the building, and it's the fourth bullet point down.
60 by 30 by 40. That's one. That's a shelter.
That's the shelter building. So, 20 by 60. Thank you. Yeah, so there's two separate, it refers to two separate structures. One of them is a shelter for a pad. The other one is a hard building. Someplace for the people who work there to have tools or whatever.
Okay, I see.
Thank you. Thank you, Dana. Shop is what Dana said.
Yeah.
So are you okay with the size that's of the shop building that's referred to in the criteria?
Yes, thank you for...
Okay, sure.
Bring that around.
Okay. So what I wrote into the draft is larger than that, but wasn't trying to make a point. I mean, I'm fine with whatever's in the criteria. Anything else, Jeremiah?
No, thank you.
So on your first point, this is not an invitation for operators. This is a financial feasibility study. So I'm a little concerned that if we don't specify a machine size, and all of that means relative to the cost of a machine, the cost of the travel way, and all of the direct and the piers for the travel lift and all the things that are directly associated with the travel lift, they might be handicapped in giving us numbers.
I would have to agree with that. If we just put down straight things and then there's somebody who says, well, I want to come in and put in this, well, then that's up to them to bring that much to the game.
Not only that, I think there's an additional possibility is, and I don't know this, it depends upon whether we get respondents, whether the city gets respondents and what they have to say. But speaking from personal experience, having researched this sort of thing in the past and having been asked to participate in these kinds of financial feasibility studies, when you're doing the research, it's a matter of minutes to think about a 70 or a whatever in addition to a 50, whatever the numbers are, fill in the numbers. It's just a matter of seconds. Now, there's a big difference between a 50 and a 500. That takes a lot more time to think about. But a 50 to a 70 is... So by the time we get it, if we specify a 50 and we get the report, we might not be unreasonable to say to the consultant, and be prepared to chat with us about the delta between a 50 and a 70. What do you think?
Sounds good.
No. Okay. I mean, we're trying to get this. Our mission here is to get consensus on the altered criteria. So, you okay?
Yes.
You sure?
That is my final answer.
Okay, thank you. Lynn, the criteria?
I had a question since if everybody agrees that we should not have what Gene referred to, the means of fixed choice, to launch and haul out small boats. If you don't have that written in, then if it's not going to be included. I think that's a very important part that we need to have included. Now, you might want to change a location or something, but to say that we're not going to include that, I think, would be a mistake. We've got a lot of small boats, and we have a possibility of having a storage yard where we'll make some money off of it.
I would agree.
Hang on a second.
Launch them.
Okay. Anything else in the criteria?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, we can come back, you know.
Yeah, that's what I said, not at the moment.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Cherise?
No.
Okay, Dana?
Well, I would agree with Lynn. This is something I want to see happen. Part of making this whole thing work is being able to use it for the whole community. You want to bring up Measure B. Don't even go there, Gene.
I don't want to get started on that. But yeah, I do want to see that stay in this for the feasibility study.
Well, one possibility, I'm sure there's others, one possible way to deal with that is do you make that a discrete element of the RFP? And the consultant is asked, and I think it's a reasonable ask in my opinion, is asked to deal with that as a discrete element and what the impacts are or are not on the overall financial feasibility. Lynn?
No comment.
Oh, it's not ready yet? Okay.
A discrete?
Gene?
A discrete category is separate or review it separately? Or?
It's a separate element. Yeah. Okay. How are we doing? Anything else on this criteria? Have we achieved consensus? Is that what I hear on a summary? Well, I don't hear anybody talking about any of the other bullet items.
Oh, well, I have.
Okay. Can you read it, please?
The Upland facility provided with adequate sunlight and prevailing wind exposure to support solar power and wind power applications. If you want enough wind exposure, I think you're going to have a problem developing a yard that is well enough in some ways to be protected to make it possible to paint. People haul their boats out and they paint them, and you don't want a lot of wind to blow it around or to blow sand on your new paint job. Solar power, if you have some and you have places to put some solar panels on top of buildings, I can see how that could be a good thing, but trying to plan to have it open enough for our usual northwesterlies to blow through, I don't think is a good idea. I wouldn't want to put my boat there.
I didn't turn on the
mic. I'm not sure how much control we have over.
We don't. I'm only thinking about where
sun
they
and
put
wind
these,
exposure.
Where they put these buildings? Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's in the criteria. It's telling the, well, not the builder, but it's a feasibility study, but to give some consideration to that.
Well, I think the key word in the your point, I appreciate your point. The key word, I think, in that bullet item is the word support. So I'm thinking about a financial feasibility study. If I'm trying to put on the consultant's hat, I'm reading this and I'm going, what does that really mean? I guess it means where the building is sited and where we might put wind generators. Well, we can't put wind generators on the ground, so we have to either build towers, but they don't want us to use any of the dirt to do that, so I guess it would have to go on top of the building, which restricts the size of the thing, so there must really be talking about trickle generation for a computer. So we either can further define it, or we can take this out for now. I mean, the concept of alternative energy source down there, sure. And if I remember back to the original discussion, this body just didn't want to eliminate the possibility of alternative energy on the site. My memory is pretty dim, but I don't think we were specific. Gene?
Can we just change the wording to alternative energy production?
That's a good idea.
It covers it, and we're okay with that.
That's a good idea.
And can I make another suggestion? Maybe trying to read this from the consultant's standpoint. Okay, this is a criteria. What kind of a criteria is this? It's making a statement that the facility is provided with that. That's kind of an odd way to state a criteria. This really needs to state the facility has the potential for, like Gene says, alternative energy production. I mean, you could state sun and wind.
Well, we could be specific and put in the criteria that the fixed building will have, as part of an assumption for the financial feasibility, will have the maximum solar energy production capability on that the surface area provides.
So you just said solar alone.
I did just say solar alone because
you
I
didn't say alternative.
Because what are the alternatives on that on a dirt site? You got wind and solar, unless somebody's got something that I don't know, which is always possible. Dana.
I'm good with that. I think this was kind of something that we threw in here just to kind of cover everything when we were putting criteria together. But the solar panels on top of the building, I think, would be adequate.
Might even be required if we get some sort of public funding or something.
Well, yeah. So I think that's fine.
but
the potential for alternative energy sources or something like that, and then just maybe putting solar in parentheses, or I'm not sure. Well,
then we're coming back to your point earlier, your quite correct point and well taken point that we need this.
Yeah,
if you're going
right.
to give,
okay.
if you're going to give them, yeah,
you
got to give them be specific, or they just scratch their heads and go, "Wow, that doesn't make any sense." Lynn.
What was my thought?
How about
we just?
Are you ready?
Leave it out.
I didn't mean to jump in. How about the Upland facility has wind and sunlight exposure for alternative power generation? Then somebody, when they're analyzing the financial feasibility, and they look at our map and our site, and
so
they realize the building's this big, okay, it's going to cost me X amount of dollars to put in some solar panels on the top of this building, and we can stick some wind generator things, it'll cost that. Okay, here's your cost.
So you're saying make an affirmative statement.
Yeah. The facility does have sunlight exposure, and it sure as heck has wind exposure.
Gene?
The county requires that new construction provide solar energy. So you could just say, as per County of San Luis Obispo requirements.
Yeah, wow. Well.
We're not stating everything is going to be exposed to the wind so that we can generate power. We're saying there's exposure for power and for wind and solar power generation.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I sort of did what I just did is that that's coastal zone down there. So county isn't going to be the only agency involved. Okay. All right. So let's move through this. Okay. So what are we going to do with this one? Are we okay with Eric's proposed wording? Hello?
Can
you say it again,
Eric?
The Upland facility has wind and sunlight exposure for alternative power generation. It's just making a statement that it's got exposure. And if they want to...
How about adding the word does?
You said does.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Has?
Does
the Upland facility has wind and sunlight exposure for alternative power generation. Where do I add does to that?
It does have. I mean, I just don't want it to come across as a question, you know.
So,
Therese?
Okay.
One of the things that I know when you're designing a building, they want to have it positioned properly and then angled correctly. Is there any way to add into that to energy efficiency to design building with the
orientation,
just taking into consideration the orientation and the height and roof, however you want to say it, but energy efficiency.
Well, we have one of the things that we're attaching here that I'm loath to reinvent is the concept plan. I mean, literally, mm-hmm. the concept plan that RRM did, and that includes how that building is sited.
Right.
I understand your point for sure. And if it had a peaked roof, I mean, it would have west-southwest exposure, one half of it.
Okay. Yeah, this is all of this criteria that we're putting together, whether it's RRM's design or this list of criteria, is all for the feasibility study. The exact, if somebody came to build this, could be, you know, somewhat varied by quite a bit.
It might have to.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, this is just for somebody to crunch some numbers and see what the cost might be.
Okay. So I'm looking for a consensus. Are we okay with Eric's suggested modified bullet point?
I am.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay. So, Gene, what would you like to see said?
I think you need to nail it down with more specific so that they can say, oh, yeah, if we have to put 6 panels in or 12 panels in or something like that. 4 kW or whatever it is, but to say, well, you know, you can put in one panel or no panel or...
So if we talked about the applicable service area for the building as specified in the bullet up above, would that do it for you?
Yes.
Okay. So that makes perfect sense to me. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Eric, duly noted?
Yep, duly noted.
Okay. Okay. So I think we're... are we done with the criteria? Are we content now with this criteria as modified by this discussion? Okay.
And I think in the RFP document itself, there's, with the exception of a couple small places, there's not a lot of reference to specifics of criteria, it references the criteria overall. I think we're pretty safe there. Would you agree?
Well, there needs to be some minor, yes.
Yeah.
But there needs to be some minor modification, which is, and I agree with having read it recently, it would not be, it's a matter of minutes. As long as we refer to the criteria as a guiding appendices.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Dana, how are we doing?
We're doing good. So we passed that, the criteria. You look on page 5, you see the red line area under item 3.
Not on my page 5. Is this your page 5?
Yeah.
Page 5 starts at the top.
Oh.
Right
at the top.
Oh.
Oh, I have item 3 in Dendez. That's funny. Okay, anyways, at the top of the page,
sure.
The headline starts with, in 2018, Moral Bay City Council affirmed the city's goals for the upcoming year. So, this section here, does anybody have any comments on it?
Why do you ask? I know you have
because
something.
It's right here. Do we want this in here, or do we not? I'm reading it. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, it's new language.
I know.
Oh. You're asking the board is okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. I got it now. A little slow, way slow.
Sorry, I didn't have my mic on here.
So
anybody?
Does anybody have a problem with that paragraph? Okay. And the reason it got inserted, because I'm responsible for that, is that I wanted to make clear to the hopeful respondents that this is a part of a city goal and objective as established by city leadership.
So go back to page 4.
Yeah.
And the paragraph right before the numbered paragraphs that says work products to date include, I think your red language best fits right at the end of that paragraph that ends in 2014, pursuit of a full service boatyard has made a city council goal objective. We should blend those together because that's all talking about.
That's a good idea.
The history. It's more of a history thing than a work product thing.
Yeah and I like it because it goes before the numbered.
Yeah. Yep,
work
that's
product.
Right. So I got a note to move that.
That's a good idea. Thank you. Good yeah. idea. Okay, Dana, next.
Yeah. Okay. So then, loading here. If you go to page 9, we have another paragraph. It's in red.
I don't.
Gosh, mine's different. Online, it's different here. Yeah, I have it. Okay, after page 8, element 3, the end of element 3. Does everybody have that? I have that on page 9.
After element 3?
No.
It's on page 8 for some of us.
Okay.
After element 3 is completed?
No, not that. Element 3. Oh, I'm sorry. Element 2. Element 2.
Okay. Yep. Got it.
You have 4, A, B, and C, and then you have a paragraph there that has been added.
R 7 on the hard copy.
7 on the, yeah, paper copy.
Wow. That's weird. Each of the 3 project concept models is to incorporate the service model as developed by the HAB. And this talks about the size of the travel lift, suitable for pathway, haul-out locations, storage, service yard, boat bottom wash. This section, obviously we want to change the size of the travel lift.
How about if we just delete this paragraph and make an earlier reference to the criteria?
Okay, and I think that we do the reference to the criteria at the end of the scope.
Yes.
Which is, should be on page 5. Scope of services. that's not what I'm thinking of. Scope of project.
Yeah, project scope.
Project scope, right there.
This paragraph right here.
Yeah. So at the bottom of that, we just continue on with referring to the criteria.
Insert the criteria.
Yeah.
Reference to the criteria.
So after...
Before we start element one.
Okay. So insert reference to the project criteria there.
Everybody okay with that? Okay. That's unanimity. Okay, next.
And we're getting rid of that red, that long red one that you just talked about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're eliminating that. Okay.
Okay, and after that, I really don't have anything. There's just a couple things as far as dates that have to be changed, and then at the very end, the city attorney changes the name of the city attorney. But other than that, that's all I have. Somebody else has something to discuss.
Okay. Charisse, you have anything else? Okay. Lynn?
Yeah.
Jeremiah? Gene, you good? Okay. Eric, you said
one other question
okay?
On the project schedule. I mean, I'll RFP issues and issued and all the other stuff, but how long do we want to soak this?
What's your recommendation? Should have known I was going to ask you.
Careful what you ask for. What we had it before. It went out October. Went October 30th, so it had 3 months, 90 days. November,
yep.
December, January.
Does
that seem too short?
Based upon the last experience, the two of you worked it, was 90 days enough?
Well, we didn't get any responses, but I don't think that was because of time. I mean, this is just for people to give us a proposal of what it would cost and whatnot. It's not to do the study. So is 90 days long enough for somebody to put together some cost and estimates and figure out how much work is entailed?
Well, let me ask you a question as it relates to what you just said, that this is for a response, not for the study. Do you feel confident that the last time around that all of the possible players or the majority of the possible players were identified and contacted?
For the most part.
And how long did that take? I'm talking about the outreach part.
We were doing over a... I mean, once we got the RFP out, we recontacted and affirmatively sent things, but we had been doing outreach in the couple of weeks leading up to it.
So 30 days for it to bake, and then what, 60 days for considered response?
Yeah.
90 days?
I mean, you've done consultant work. How is that?
I think 90 days is plenty.
Okay.
I mean, either you're interested or you're not interested, so... That's my own opinion.
Okay. Unless anybody else feels strongly one way or the other, that's fine with me. I mean, that's what we developed before, so.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Okay.
So,
another question.
An RFP issue date, when would you think would be a good time for that?
Everything's going to cascade off of that. It's just when we can get it put together, and depending on what our next steps are, whether... and what we recommend moving forward.
Are there any impediments to the department unilaterally reissuing this RFP? Or constraints is a better word? Constraints.
No, it's just a matter of doing some revisions and getting back out.
So staff time.
It's staff time. I've got to internally vet it up my chain of command and make sure there's nothing else I need to worry about on that end of it, but I don't see any major impediments.
Okay.
I mean, it's not taking any extra cost or a little bit of staff time and effort to put it back out. And if we get something, we get something.
Yeah. Okay. Lynn.
I just have a silly question, but what is going to make these same people respond to your second RFP if they looked at the first one and decided not to? How are you going to make distinguish it?
What carrot are we going to dangle?
Well,
I think at the very least it's going to take some explaining why we are reissuing and what we've done to change it, to try and get some responses.
The new improved or something.
Well, it occurs to me that when we introduce this evening, when we introduce the agenda item, you thank you, did a good job of the history, but I'm not sure we ever said why we want to do this. I'm talking about tonight to the public. So my understanding is, and correct me if this is wrong, my understanding is that there is still compelling interest in the community for this kind of project, and we still have not found a way to either positively open a door or close a door, and we're looking for that sort of finality. And if in fact the opportunity is extended to qualified consultants for a financial feasibility study, it is our hope for an entire study, not just a phase one, and then maybe we don't go any further than that, for the entire study that we will get some sort of definitive indication as to whether the project is financially feasible or not. So that's why we've just taken the last 40 minutes to talk about this.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're still a harbor town. We still have a boating community, and it's only been growing. This idea of finality, I'm not sure about. One of the reasons I want to see the full report is whatever these possible so-called fatal flaws are. Okay, so we know what they are, or what issues need to be addressed, or maybe there is someone or some entity that shows up, whether they're a wind farm or someone takes over the power plant and redevelops, that some of those fatal flaws go away. This idea of a finality, I think that's more of like, it's just something we don't have to deal with right now. I don't see it as something that's going to go away. Anytime somebody wants to bring it up, they should be able to bring it up. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, here's our financial feasibility study that we did, and this was the problem. Well, the last one that was done, it was land, acquiring the land was a big part of not doing it. Well, that may not be as big a problem anymore. So I just want to see the full picture of this, and then we have it. Whether it happens soon or later, at least we know. We have information that we can resource.
Thank you. You are correct. Thank you. Okay, we're ready to move on? Okay. B2, update from the finance and budget.
Do I need to make a motion for this to continue?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's already been authorized. I mean, my recollection is that at the...
Well, I guess, I mean, I'm going to say yes.
Oh.
In that, is the Harbor Advisor Board recommending we make these changes and put this back out?
And reissuing the RFP?
Yeah.
Okay, Dana?
I move that the staff reissue the request for proposals, RFP, for a Morro Bay Boatyard Marine Facility financial feasibility study with the amended language and removal of the phased process.
The
second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Discussion. I might point out that you might want to make specific reference to the amended criteria. No. I mean, no. All you got to do is to say that as the criteria was amended this evening, or amended this date by the Harbor Advisory Board.
Okay, so that's all. I have that in here with the amended language
as of tonight.
Well, the amended language, you might be referring to the RFP as opposed to the criteria, and they're two separate documents.
Oh, okay. Okay, I move that...
No, you need to withdraw your motion.
I
that's where I'm going.
Oh, and the second needs to be okay with that.
I withdraw my first motion.
The second okay with that?
Yes.
And...
May I make a suggestion?
Yeah, I was just going to amend.
Keep with the original motion. We'll approve it. The document references the criteria. We'll do a separate motion to approve the revised criteria, and we'll put a new date on it, and then they'll both be happy. Is that okay?
I'm good with that. So I'm just going to start all over, and I'm going to move that the staff reissue the request for proposals for a Morro Bay Boatyard Marine Facility financial feasibility study with the amended language of March 13th, 2019 Harbor Advisory Board meeting and the removal of the phase process.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Carries.
I would like to make a second motion.
Great idea.
I move that we reissue the amended criteria to accompany the RFP for the Morro Bay Boatyard and Marine Facility Financial Feasibility Study.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, call it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Carries unanimously. Danny, you okay with B1?
Yeah.
Okay, B2. Update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities. The chair of that committee is not with us this evening. I'm a member of that committee. I can briefly report that the committee will meet in the very near future with the harbor director to review the capital worksheets that have been an ongoing tool in the department's budget process over the last few years. And that's all I have to report.
And I'll just add that the consultant that's working on our master fee study revision and our cost allocation plan revision met with him this week, and he's pretty well completed the cost study part, all the costs that go into our fees, with the exception of the capital component. So that's the primary reason we're meeting, to kind of nail down some more of the capital numbers and be able to incorporate that into the fee study. So all the costs will be properly incorporated. So that consultant is working well on all those and moving forward to getting all that stuff done in time for budgeting this coming spring. And we just got our first meeting announcement for our first get-together with department heads to start doing budget planning. So we're starting down the road.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board on that agenda item? Okay. Moving on, B3, update from the Eelgrass Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities. Lynn?
We haven't really had any recent activities. At our last meeting in February, we reported that the NEP was not comfortable with the original concept plan that Anchor QEA gave us. They felt they had too much of a role as a regulator. We met with Anchor QEA, and he was going to revise this to make it more of an in-lieu fee program. And I think at this point we have not gotten the final wording back on that, but NEP is happy with an in-lieu fee program. And the next step that was left since that is to confirm with regulators that this would be a viable alternative with them. unless Eric has received some communications from either Jack Malone or, from Jack.
Yeah, from Jack and Anchor. We have conversed a little bit. I believe he, last I spoke to him, he was, per the input that we got from the last meeting, he was revising the matrix,
right,
that was on there. So that's what I'm waiting on from him.
So you haven't gotten the final on with that matrix and revised? Okay.
Once I do, we'll get it back to the committee. And
is there a date certain by which that will be produced?
I don't have one. I can get one.
Jack did volunteer to make those amendments to that on a pro bono basis. Mm-hmm. He said it would probably be more work to develop a cost analysis of it rather than just to do it. So he was going to help us out with that.
Mm. Bless his heart. And not as they mean it in the South. Anything else, Lynn?
That's it.
Okay. Any questions from the board? No? Okay. So that brings us to B4, an update on the Harbor Department Lease Management Policy Update Process. Cherise?
Okay. So the last time that we met, we...
Cherise, just... I should have said for the public, because not everybody may know, that we have two of our board members are serving on the working group that's involved in that. It's sort of a city administrative function. And that's Cherise Hansen and Mark Blackford. So hence, Cherise knows exactly what's going on. Thank you.
Okay. In the group, we have separated into two different smaller groups and taken parts of the outline to work on. Currently, my group is working on the master lease format. We're reviewing similar formats with similar leases up and down the coast, making sure that all key ingredients are part of the Morro Bay format, and also making sure, when possible, that the criteria that's within the format be well stated, thorough, and explanatory. It's that part of the master lease format is a lot of legal writing, so we're not doing any changes to that, but we're just making sure that we're covering all the bases within the format itself and that it's well understood by anybody who wants to look at it for a possible lease. Tomorrow we meet at 1 o'clock to discuss our findings on that part and to go on to the next step.
Okay. Questions? Gene?
Is your meeting open to the public?
They're not Brown Act meetings, no.
Okay.
When you say format, is that an outline or is that content or both?
It's mostly the outline that we look at, but it would contain within that outline what the ingredients will go into. So we're not going into each one, but the format is a basic outline that makes sure that those ingredients are part of it, but not into the meat of each.
And will that meat be eventually addressed by the working group?
That is a specific lease, each separate.
And I'm not talking about the legalistic part.
It'll be a different part of the outline, but yes, each part of the actual format, but will then be compartmentalized as well. But this is the lease format outline and all the ingredients that we want to have for each master lease that gets generated from here on out.
And what's the timeline for the project?
Explain.
How long is this going to take, and where are you in the process in terms of calendar?
So when you look at the actual outline, which it's in our information. We started with the vision statement, general policy, purpose, benefits, background, ground lease management, leasing areas. So now we've gone down into 6 lease administration, and so we're on A and B, approved uses. And then we'll keep going down throughout and get more specific into each one of the following.
Time-wise, so the last council meeting, you know, 2 council meetings ago, we set a new timeline. I don't have it right in front of me, but I can dig it up, but it won't take time. It was sometime in the late spring, early summer, I believe, probably late spring. Now that we've really started to get into it, my recommendation moving forward is we take whatever time is necessary to do it and do it right. I don't want to rush it for sake of rushing it to get done by some deadline. And if it takes us into the summer, I'll go back to my city manager and to the city council if necessary and say, hey, let's keep going on this because it's important and we need to get it done. And it's a lot of work, especially circling back to the Harbor Advisory Board. We want to get this right because this is a once in every 20-year thing. So.
Or longer.
Or longer.
Yeah. Yeah, there's, interestingly enough, I don't get a lot of contact from the public about a particular item that the Harbor Advisory Board is involved in, and I've had a number of people ask me about this one. So there's some interest, and a lot of folks understand that the harbor is funded through the Tidelands Grant properties, and the money that the city earns off of those lease sites. Some folks understand that, so they're appropriately interested in this. So you're right, it's very important. Okay, anything else on this one?
No, thank you. That's something interesting in the history.
Okay. Don't want to share, though. Okay. So that's brings us to B5, which is a report from the harbor director on his recent City of Morro Bay, well, it's not just his, but the recent City of Morro Bay delegation trip to Washington, D.C. with the California Marine Affairs and Navigation Conference. Mr. Director.
Thank you. So this was a dual trip. Went with the CMANC group, the California Marine Affairs and Navigation Conference group. That was primarily myself and the mayor. And then city manager and public works director went to go continue following up on the issues regarding the water reclamation facility, the wharf, primarily the funding through EPA loan and other issues. So 4 of us were out there and made a lot of good meeting work. So we've been going out there over 25 years. We've had a consultant that we've had for probably about that same amount of time, same firm. They set up a number of meetings with us and the other consultant the city has out in D.C., the Ferguson Group that was hired to work specifically on the wharf project, also set up meetings back in D.C. for that purpose. We had a lot of crossover. We met with the Corps of Engineers person that we do on dredging, and they met with the Corps of Engineers person for the wharf, and with our congressman and our 2 senators as well, so a fair amount of overlap. We covered a good amount of ground. We also went out to meet with folks regarding the offshore wind generation project and the BOEM leasing process. Had meetings. The CMANC proceedings in the actual conference itself were where all the other harbor folks from California are out there, along with the executive director of CMANC. Those were Tuesday and Wednesday. Our meetings that we had set up outside of those were Monday and Thursday for both the wharf and for harbor maintenance and other issues. So it was probably the busiest week we've had out there with all the meetings and all the issues. Essentially who we met with were Congressman Salud Carbajal, representatives from both our senators' offices, although when the city manager and public works director and mayor were meeting with a representative from Dianne Feinstein's office, she happened to the office, so they had a quick chat with her, which was just kind of happenstance. Met with a Speaker Pelosi's office, met with Congresswoman Shelley Pingree from Maine, mainly about some fishery issues and also about offshore wind farms, because we to see what their experience is there on the East Coast. No farms in Maine, but they did down Rhode Island, so I wanted to see what their experience was. Congresswoman Julia Brownlee, she's a congresswoman that is just below Sault Carbajal, taking up Channel Islands Harbor and Port Hueneme, so met with her office, and we met with her and with the larger CMAQ group, met with legislative assistant from Congressman Jared Huffman's constituency. He is the 2nd District of California, which is the North Coast, extreme North Coast, mainly about fishery issues and a little bit about core funding and dredging. And then also with legislative director for Congressman Jimmy Panetta, who is the Monterey congressman in that zone up there, son of Leon Panetta, who used to be our congressman years ago and moved on to the White House, I think even the Pentagon. Congressman Dave Lubsack, he's an Iowa congressman. He's on an important infrastructure committee that funds infrastructure projects that would fund the WIFIA loan. Brad Schwichtenberg, he's our South Pacific Division Corps of Engineers representative in Washington, D.C. He's a pretty key component to ensuring that our dredging gets done. And then with Walter Cruikshank, he's the acting director for BOEM. He's only acting in that Congress just hasn't gotten around to approving him yet. Met with a couple other folks in BOEM and Department of Interior. Actually got to go on the roof of the Department of Interior building and had a nice overview of Washington, D.C. That was a little bit of a special treat. Somebody snuck us up there. The war folks went and met with the White House Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, primarily to try and smooth out some of the WARF issues, but also try and make some connections on the wind energy project. So the main thing we're trying to address with folks back in D.C. on the wind energy project is this Department of Defense issue, where Department of Defense is apparently taking a stance where they are potentially opposing wind farms on the West Coast because they think they're going to interfere with their training and test ranges. So we're trying to find some links between the administration, Department of Defense, and the permitting agencies, BOEM and Department of Interior, to see if we can figure out a way around that, because the Department of Defense has the potential to be a bit of a impediment to wind energy generation. So spent a fair amount of time on that. EPA, a couple different offices in EPA, both regulatorily to make sure we're still on a good regulatory track for the WARF and also for the funding. Again, we had a meeting over in the Department of Defense to try and smooth out that issue on the wind farm. And then a couple meetings in the Department of Interior, again, on the leasing process to try and make the city's point that we believe the lease auction should be based not entirely on who throws up the highest bid, but also on other factors such as benefits agreements with the fishermen that the Fishermen's Association has entered into with Castle Wind, and with the city's entered into with Castle Wind as well. So good amount of time on all those meetings. And then National Estuary Program, spoke to our congressman about the importance of that, our senator's importance of that, to keep that funding. There seemed to be good support for that, which was good. A little bit of discussion on the Morro Bay Power Plant site as a brownfield. There may be some brownfield funding to remediate there once and if ever that ever goes anywhere. Various fishery issues, although there's not a lot of big things bubbling right now. On the regulatory front, we're always there in front of our congressmen and senators and giving them our latest commercial fishery economic impact reports and what the latest issues of the day are and support for our commercial fisheries and working waterfronts. And I should probably just open it up for questions. Questions?
Spends a week in Washington, D.C. and gives us all that, we have no questions. Come on, Lynn. Let's go.
I was curious, you said that you met with a congresswoman from some area where they had wind farms to find out what their experience was, or you said something to those words?
We met with Congresswoman Shelley Pingree from Maine, the second district of Maine, first district of Maine. They don't have any wind farms off Maine. The closest ones are down, and Jeremiah, you know better than I, either Block Island.
Oh.
Down in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts area. We met with her last year mainly to make a East Coast connection for working waterfronts and fisheries. She had supported and introduced a working waterfront bill to make some grants available to quote-unquote designated working waterfronts. The bill didn't pass. They're doing some amendments to it to try and make it more palatable. But we just wanted to make an East Coast connection and talk fisheries and wind farms with them, too, because, you know, there are those auctions that occurred on the East Coast, although not off of Maine.
Okay, so you did not get any feedback on how the wind farms were being...
No, there were two congressmen that we tried to get meetings set up with. One... The response back was they're only taking meetings for their constituents within their district, and the other was just too busy with other meetings, and they just couldn't get us scheduled in. Okay. So we tried to get the folks that had districts that butted up against the existing farms.
Okay. Thank you.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, everything looked good as far as the dredging in your estimation, Eric?
It did. In one of our social events we had in one of the evenings, I was introduced to the person in the South Pacific Division. And when you hear South Pacific, I think warm and tropical, and it's not warm tropical. It's the West Coast, Hawaii, Oregon, Utah, Arizona. That's the South Pacific Division. I met the person up there that deals with the budget recommendations that come up from the LA district and go to division. Division's the next level up, and that person is the clearinghouse in division that then decides what is part of deciding what moves on to headquarters in Washington, D.C. in the budget. So making that connection, I think, was pretty key. Our ask for the 2019 federal year budget year was our 2020 budget. We're in 2019 now. The 2020 budget was $3 million, and that's what we requested of our district in L.A., and that's what they pushed up. The president's budget just came out Monday, but the details came out yesterday, and in the budget is $2.75 million. So $250,000 less than what we requested and what our district requested. So we're hoping that Congress, as they have for the last 4 years, added money to the president's budget in the Corps of Engineers budget. And so we're hoping that the Corps of Engineers overall budget was cut, and I don't know the exact percent of the number, but it was cut pretty significantly in the president's budget. So I think everybody's numbers got bumped down a little bit, including ours. So we'll see what Congress does with it. So for this year, we're funded. The Yaquin is coming in end of April, beginning of May. We're getting our normal 20-ish days. Hopefully be enough after this winter. As you know, it's been a little stormy, so... We could have a lot of infill. And then we're in the proposed budget right now, a little less than hoped for. This year we've got $2.94 million. I think our budget amount in this year's bill originally was $2.75, but then Congress was able to add a little bit more to it. So we're hopeful we'll get a little plus up, but $2.75 will work. But we'd like to have a little more.
You know, hang on, I have to... Give me one second. So as a segue on the dredging thing, as you know, and as anybody who's been on the beaches knows, the profile of the beaches is completely different than it used to be. Tons and tons and tons of sand have gone out into the ocean. I don't know how far. I have absolutely no idea. Based upon your long experience here in Morro, what?
Every year.
Not to this degree. Mm-hmm. Not to this degree. We walk the beaches every day, and there's a slope now. There didn't used to be this giant slope. I was just out on the spit 2 weeks ago on the west side of the spit,
and there's now a cliff along the edge of the dunes that never existed before. It's a 6-foot cliff, so a lot of material's been off. Where does that material go, if you have any idea? In terms of being a potential navigation hazard.
It typically goes into the near offshore. It gets pulled offshore into within a couple miles of the beach and forms sandbars. Every surfer will tell you, you know, when that sand disappears off the beach, that's when all the good sandbars form, because it gets pulled off and gets moved out into the 20 to probably 100-foot water range, out into the littoral current, and that's where it ends up back in our harbor mouth, because the currents that continually move suddenly have all these big sandbars they're pushing up against, and so they start moving sand, and that's where it keeps getting put in our harbor mouth.
So the profile, the bottom profile at the harbor mouth could be significantly different.
Yeah. We haven't gone out. I mean, maybe my crew has. I haven't asked, but you know, we'll typically go out when we get a decent day and try and do some sounding and see. And you'll see there'll be a big hump that builds up out there. I suspect it's pretty significant this year. We haven't seen a lot of infill in the sand trap or the inner groin jetty area. You know, typically in the narrows, we get that pinch point. We haven't seen a lot of buildup on that sandbar in there this year for whatever reason. But you're right, a lot has moved off of the beaches, a lot.
How is where the Yukina works determined on a given trip here?
They okay. Prioritize in consultation with us, but the authorization for that project is primarily for the entrance, what's called the quote-unquote entrance improvement project, which was a deepening of this polygonish shaped thing in the harbor mouth and outside from the originally designed depth of 30 feet down to 40 feet. So it's basically inside the harbor mouth, maybe, I don't know, 50 yards between the jetties, you know, safe distance off the jetties, and then going outside the harbor in a large box down to 40 feet. And they try to, I believe they try and dig it to 40 feet until they meet the natural 40-foot contour is the idea of it.
And is the bottom surveyed ahead of time so they know where they're going?
Yeah, they'll come in.
What they're going to encounter is a better way to put it?
Yeah, they'll come in probably any time now, March, April. They'll have the survey boat run all the surveys, and then they'll print up bathymetric map of that, and then give that to us, and then we'll work with the LA district with our project manager down in LA, and we'll talk about where the priorities are. Because then by then they'll know quantities. They'll be able to say, well, there's X number of hundreds of thousands of cubic yards in the entrance, and there's this many over by the inner groin jetty, and we're here for X number of days, and at so many yards per day, we can get this much. What do we want to do?
Oh, good. Thank you. That's very clear.
Yeah.
Thank you. Dana?
Yeah, Eric, you mentioned Congressman Shelley Pingray from Maine, and I think Jared Huffman
was also on that group that was working on that bill. I was glad to hear that you said it was still alive or working.
Going to reintroduce it. Yeah,
they're reintroducing. Because that came about when we were putting together the working waterfront criteria for the general plan. And that was funding for working waterfront, so it's kind of exciting that might happen. Can you elaborate on how that's moving? Or
well, it needs to be reintroduced. One of the primary reasons it didn't go anywhere last year is because the governor of Maine was opposed to it. That governor's now gone, which is one of the main reasons they're reintroducing it. And that governor's opposition was primarily on the grounds that he thought it was duplicative, and there was already plenty of federal programs in place for those type of grant opportunities, and as politics is politics, there was enough opposition, it just went nowhere. Ms. Pingree hopes now, with that governor now gone, that opposition will be gone, and they've done a few little modifications to the bill. It's basically the same bill to make grants available to working waterfronts.
Anything else for Eric? So, Eric, in addition to the information you provided in your report
and in your subsequent comments about the dredging, with all of the time that was spent and all of the many meetings, can you share with us what you consider to be any definitive results of that, of all that? And I'm talking about the harbor now. Is BOEM still not sure what's going to happen with DOD and all of that still up in the air, or is there some direction? I'd even settle for direction as opposed to definition.
Dredging-wise and funding for dredging, very solid support from both our congressmen and our two senators, and as evidenced by the extra funding we've got the couple last couple of years, I think we're in, knock on wood, in good shape with our dredging, at least for the next year or two. In 3 or 4 years, we're going to start needing the bigger dollars to do the whole harbor, so we'll have to start warming up to that. But, you know, like we've continually stated in all these meetings, both here and with the council, just making those relationships, meeting the person in the South Pacific Division that filters the money to D.C., you put a face to the name and to the city, and you talk to them, and it makes a difference. You know, I poked my head in the Coast Guard liaison office in the congressional office buildings and just said, hey, hi from Morro Bay, and they're all happy as heck to see us. Just somebody poked in and said, this hi. I don't doubt that someday somebody might remember that, oh, yeah, Morro Bay guy. That stuff makes a difference. So funding-wise, I think we're in good shape with the Corps. On the wind front, BOEM, it's our understanding, BOEM can put out the lease even if DOD objects. But, like any institution, although who knows with this one, but they're trying not to have internal conflict between departments, so they're trying to work it out with DOD to where DOD can live with a limited amount of wind farm. I think one of DOD's concerns is that wind farms are going to proliferate along the entirety of the West Coast, and that's, I don't think, the case and will ever be the case. So just talking to DOD representatives and giving them the local perspective and what we believe the situation is and will be and what the potential intent of the developers are, I think that can go a long way. So City of Morro Bay showing up in Washington, D.C. and getting into the Department of Defense and talking to DOD folks, I think it gives them pause for reflection, and I think they listened, and it sounded like they're talking to the Department of Interior and hopefully aren't going to be a complete stick in the whole process to stop it up. So, yeah, I think to answer your question and try to answer it in fewer words, I think that was a positive result. With Congresswoman Pingree and Brownlee and Panetta, there's a fair amount of cross-pollination and like interests across districts and just making those connections. And we'll be doing a fair amount of follow-up with Congressman Carbajal and those other congressional folks. And you know, when we told them we were working on certain initiatives, the wind farm, for instance, a fair amount of ears perked up at several of the other congressmen and women's offices, and so they wanted information, so we'll follow back up and give them information. And so when it comes to the House floor for a vote on something, and you've spoken to Congresswoman Brownlee, and she's been briefed, and she's met with the City of Morro Bay, and Congressman Carbajal spoke to her as well, all that stuff makes a difference. So I've got a fairly positive feeling about most of our meetings.
Okay, thank you. Gene.
Who funded your trip back there?
Thank you for asking that. Hopefully the Cable Committee, the California Joint Cable Fishery Liaison Committee. We put in a grant application. Lori, thank you, put in a grant application for $8,000. That's typically covered two of us, which is what the Harbor Fund is funding. They haven't gone through the process to award the grants yet. They're just starting into that now.
Anything else? Okay.
B6, consideration of changing Harbor Advisory Board meeting start time to 5:30 p.m. That was added as a future agenda item when we met. So if there is an interest prior to determining willingness, then we need a motion to change our time from 6 p.m. to 5:30, our start time from 6 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Do I hear a motion? I will make that motion to change our Harbor Advisory Board meeting time start from 6 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Lynn.
I would like to know if our members on the Harbor Advisory Board, if that causes them, those who work, mm-hmm. have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
That is not me. I don't work.
But you don't work or you don't have a problem?
I don't have a problem. I work really hard, but nobody pays me.
We will. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Is staff good with that?
Well, yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
I was going to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's immature.
Gene, does 5:30, could 5:30 work for you?
Yes, I work here in Morro Bay, so it would be easier for me to continue on.
Okay. Jeremiah, could that work for you?
That works. Yeah, that does work for me. Yes.
Okay. Lynn, could that work for you?
Yes.
Okay. This is the discussion on the motion. Dana, could that work for you?
Yes.
Charisse, could that work for you?
Yes.
Harbor Director, could that work for you?
Yes.
And Laurie, I never can remember what your formal city title is.
Business Coordinator.
Thank you so much. Business Coordinator for the Harbor Department, could that work for you?
Yes.
I hear unanimity. Any further discussion?
Nobody asked you.
Well, I made the motion, so. No, okay. Thank you, Lynn. Yes, that could work for me, yes. That's yes.
And Mr. Buckman?
I've spoken with Mr. Buckman, and that's, he can make arrangements.
Okay.
Yeah, he works on a formal sense, and is not local, but does control his own time. Yeah. So, call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carries. Thank you. And that's it this evening, unless anybody has anything else. Yes, sir.
I'll make that motion that we adjourn.
I second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carries. Thank you.